Chapter 6 Indifference Curve Technique Page 71 In view of the shortcomings of the utility analysis, modern economists have adopted a new technique called the indifference curve technique for the analysis of demand. In the following three chapters, we shall first consider this new tool of indifference curves, then analyze consumers' behavior with its help, and finally study the various applications of the modern technique. Scale of preferences. All desires of a consumer are not of equal urgency or importance. Since his resources are limited and he cannot fulfill all his desires, he must pick and choose more important and more urgent desires for satisfaction. Thus, some desires take precedence over others. This is how a consumer ranks his desires and builds up a scale of preferences. Scarcity forces him to choose. Ability to arrange preferences in order of importance or urgency is inherent in human nature. A prudent consumer exercises a lot of discrimination in his purchases. We find him substituting one commodity partly or wholly for another. He purchases a certain quantity of a commodity and no more. All the time he is striving to reach an equilibrium position, that is, a position in which he derives maximum satisfaction from the use of money at his disposal. But what is the criteria on which a consumer bases his choice? It is a relative evaluation of the utilities of the commodities included in his purchase plan. Since utility is subjective, the evaluation is obviously by himself. This means that a consumer has in his mind a definite scale of preferences which guides him in his purchases. For example, some students would like to spend their monthly allowance on the purchase of useful books, while others will squander it in the canteen. It is the consumer's scale of preferences which would determine his purchase plan. This scale of preferences is shaped by consumer's temperament and tastes. Thus, the priorities in a consumer's purchase plan are determined by his scale of preferences. Page 72. As we have mentioned already, a prudent consumer seeks to maximize his satisfaction from the purchases he makes, that is, reach an equilibrium position. But in order to be able to do so, a consumer must build up a scale of preferences on which all objects of desire or purchases find their place and which registers the terms on which they would be accepted as equivalent or preferred one to the other. The consumer's scale of preference is independent of the prices rulings in the market. He builds up his scale of preferences from the commodities he consumes. On the basis of this scale of preferences, he knows that one combination of the goods yields him the same satisfaction as another. In the discussion of consumer preference, we have to make certain assumptions to enable us to reach valid conclusions. The main assumptions are 1. Completeness. We assume that the consumer's scale of preferences is so complete that he is able to choose any one of the two combinations of commodities presented to him or is indifferent between them. 2. Non-satiation. A consumer prefers more to less. 3. Consistency or transitivity. If a consumer regards Q better than R and R better than S, obviously he prefers Q to S if this choice is open. Consumers' choices have to be consistent. 4. Continuity or substitutability. Unless one combination can be substituted for another, the consumer's preference will not be possible. 5. Convexity. The indifference curve is convex to the origin and shows the diminishing rate of marginal rate of substitution to be explained presently. It is not to be supposed, however, that actually a consumer has a complete or consistent scale of preference in his mind or that he is fully conscious of it all the time. Certain commodities usually figure in the weekly or monthly purchases, and there are thus purchases by habit. A conscious choice is made in the case of new purchases, but consumers are rational beings. We cannot construct a theory of demand because scale of preferences are in some degree rational and stable through time and purchases are usually made according to them. Actually, there is sufficient degree of stability in the spending pattern of consumers so that a realistic theory of demand can be propounded. Actual purchases made by a consumer may not, however, be in conformity with his scale of preferences. They rather depend on the amount of money in his pocket and the commodities available at the time as well as on their relative prices. Consumer's purchasing power does not depend merely on the amount of money he has. The real purchasing power depends also on the current price level. If he finds that the market has gone down, he will be able to purchase more and vice versa. Given the scale of preferences, a consumer will arrange his purchases in the light of realized purchasing power of his resources. Indifference curves. On the basis of a consumer's scale of preferences, we can draw indifference curves. An indifference curve represents satisfaction of a consumer from two commodities. It is drawn on the assumption that for all possible points or combinations of two commodities on an indifference curve, the total satisfaction or utility remains the same. Hence, the consumer is indifferent as to the combinations lying on an indifference curve. It is also an iso-utility curve. Let us now start by considering a consumer who wants to buy apples and mangoes. He does not make purchases of amounts of these two commodities arbitrarily. He knows it well that one combination of apples and mangoes gives him as much satisfaction, that is, total utility, as another combination of less apples and more mangoes, or another combination of more apples and less mangoes. The consumer cannot tell how much satisfaction he secures from an apple or from a mango, but he has got a scale of preferences between these two commodities so as to be able to compare the satisfaction derived from one basketful of these two commodities. In other words, he knows what substitution of apples for mangoes or mangoes for apples will leave him with the same or equal satisfaction. Thus, our consumer has in his mind an indifference schedule. This schedule has several combinations of apples and mangoes from which he derives the same or equal total satisfaction. Or we can say that various combinations are equally preferred or desired by him. We further clarify this point by giving an indifference schedule of various combinations of apples and mangoes. Page 73. We now have a table. Table 1, indifference schedule. There are three columns. One is combination, the number, second is apples, and the third column is mangoes. So combination 1, 15 apples, 1 mango. Combination 2, 11 apples, 2 mangoes. Combination 3, 8 apples, 3 mangoes. Combination 4, 6 apples, 4 mangoes. Combination 5, 5 apples and 5 mangoes. Now this indifference schedule can be represented on a graph. We have a figure 6.1 called as the indifference curve. On the OX axis there are mangoes, on the OY axis there are apples. So all these combinations are represented at different point. Combination 1 is point A, combination 2, B, C is point 3, 4 is point D and 5 is point E on the IC curve. It is a downward sloping curve. Okay, returning to the text. In the above schedule, the consumer obtains as much total satisfaction or total utility from 11 apples and 2 mangoes as from 8 apples and 3 mangoes, as well as from other combinations. In other words, a consumer feels indifferent whether he gets the first combination, that is 15 apples and 1 mango, second combination, 11 apples, 2 mangoes, third combination, 8 apples, 3 mangoes, fourth combination, 6th apple, 4 mangoes, or the fifth combination, 5 apples and 5 mangoes. The total satisfaction is the same in all these combinations. This is translated into schedule in a diagram which I have just explained. In figure 6.1, mangoes are measured along the x-axis and their number increases from left to right. Apples are measured along the y-axis and their number increases upwards. So if the consumer were at point A on the IC curve with 15 apples and 1 mango, he would be just as satisfied as at point B with 11 apples and 2 mangoes, or at point C with 8 apples and 3 mangoes, or at point D with 6 apples and 4 mangoes, and so on. These combinations give him the same satisfaction. If we join the points A, B, C, D, E, we get a continuous curve IC, each point on it showing equal satisfaction or indifference of the consumer towards the various combinations. This is an indifference curve. Each point on it shows a combination of apple and mangoes which yields the same total satisfaction to our consumer. Indifference map. We can draw similar indifference curves showing combinations of apple and mangoes which represent greater and lesser satisfaction than that is shown in the indifference curve IC. So we have another figure 6.2. In this figure there are 5 curves IC1, IC2, IC3, IC4 and IC5 such that they are all parallel to each other. IC1 is the nearest to the origin, IC2 is shifted upwards, IC3 still higher, IC4 still higher and IC5 is the highest curve. Returning to the text, in this figure all the points on IC5 and IC4 are preferred to all the points on IC1 or IC2 or IC3. All combinations of apples and mangoes on IC2 are equally preferred and are more preferred to all the combinations at various points on IC1. In other words, indifference curve IC1 represents a lower level of satisfaction as compared with indifference curves IC2, IC3, IC4, IC5. It will thus be seen that indifference curves reminds us of weather maps showing lines of equal pressure of the contour lines on a topographical map. A set of indifference curves is called an indifference map. It should be borne in mind that we cannot say how much more utility the higher indifference curve represents. That is, the aggregate utilities are rankable but not measurable. The jump or increase in utility cannot be ranked. We cannot say how much greater utility does IC2 represent than IC1 and IC3, making cardinal measurement of utility a Marshallian assumption that we have rejected already. Page 74. Marginal rate of substitution. From the schedule given above, we can see that when we move from one combination of two commodities to another, we are in fact substituting some units of one commodity for some units of another. We can also work out the rate at which this substitution takes place. The marginal rate of substitution shows how much of one commodity is substituted for how much of another, or at what rate a consumer is willing to substitute one commodity for another in his consumption pattern. The concept of marginal rate of substitution is a tool of indifference curve technique and is parallel to the concept of marginal utility in the Marshallian analysis of demand. Taking a previous example of substitution between apples and mangoes, we notice that when our consumer has 15 apples and 1 mango, he will be prepared to forego 4 apples for 1 mango and yet remain at the same level of satisfaction. Or, in other words, we can say, in case he has the second combination, then he will be prepared to accept 4 apples for the loss of 1 mango. Here, the marginal rate of substitution of mangoes for apples is 4:1. Table 4.2. We have 4 columns. First column is combination, second apples, third mangoes and 4 MRS of mangoes for apples. So we are considering the previous table only. Combination 1, 15 apples, 1 mango, MRS is dash. Second combination, 11 apples, 2 mangoes, MRS is 4:1. Third combination, 8 apples, 3 mangoes, MRS is 3:1. Combination 4, 6 apples, 4 mangoes, MRS 2:1. And fifth combination, 5 apples, 5 mangoes, MRS 1:1. The marginal rate of substitution may thus be defined as the amount of apples that is sacrificed for obtaining 1 mango. Or it may also be defined as the amount of apples that may be given to the consumer for the loss of 1 mango so that he may remain at the same level of satisfaction. In Hicks's words, we may define marginal rate of substitution of X for Y as the quantity of Y which would just compensate the consumer for the loss of the marginal unit of X. Let us suppose that the consumer decides upon the fourth combination, which in terms of our diagram number 6.1 means that he chose the combination represented by a point on IC. Now the marginal unit of mangoes is the third mango to acquire which he has to forego 2 apples, or in other words, he will get the fourth mango if he is compensated by 2 apples. At this point, the marginal rate of substitution of mango for apples is 2:1. It is common observation that as we come to have more and more of one good, we shall be prepared to forego less and less of the other, since our desire for the former becomes less and less intense with more and more of it. In technical language, it will be said that the marginal rate of substitution of good X For good y will fall as we have more of x and less of y. This is clearly brought out in the preceding table where combination 2 of the marginal rate of substitution of mango for apple is 4:1 and it falls to 3:1 in combination 3 and further 2:1 in combination 4. Thus, the principle is that as x is substituted for y, so as to keep the consumer at the same level of satisfaction, the marginal rate of substitution of x for y diminishes. This principle in indifference curve techniques is termed as diminishing marginal rate of substitution and is parallel to the law of diminishing marginal utility in Marshallian utility analysis. The marginal rate of substitution is indicated by the slope of an indifference curve at a point. That is, it represents a movement along an indifference curve but not a movement among the curves. Principle of diminishing marginal rate of substitution. We've explained above the term marginal rate of substitution. An important principle of consumer behavior emerges. That is, as more and more of a good, say X, is substituted for another good, say Y, the marginal rate of substitution diminishes. This is due to the fact that as the consumer has more and more of good X, he goes on losing interest therein and he is prepared to give less and less of the other good Y for it. We now have another figure, figure 6.3, which is diminishing marginal rate of substitution implies. So on the x-axis we have good x, on the y-axis we have good y, and we have the IC curve. On the IC curve there are the points marked A, B, C, D, E and F. So if we take the difference in y, that is delta y between point A and B, it is called delta y1. The difference between B and C is delta y2. The difference between C and D is delta y3. The difference between D and E is delta y4. And the difference between E and F is delta y5. For all these differences, delta x between A and B is same as delta x between B and C, is the same as delta x between C and D, D and E and E and F. So all the changes on the x-axis are equal, but the changes on the y-axis keep on decreasing as we move downwards on the curve. Going back to the text, look at the figure. When the consumer slides down the curve IC from A to B, he foregoes delta y of good y to obtain delta x of good x. Hence, in this case, the marginal rate of substitution of x for y, that is MRSXY, is equal to delta y1 upon delta x. We notice that as the consumer slides down further and further on the indifference curve, delta y becomes shorter and shorter while delta x remains the same. Page 75. This means that as the consumer has more and more of X, that is when he moves from A to B, from B to C, from C to D and so on, he is prepared to forego less and less of Y for a unit of X. From the above figure, it can be said that delta Y2 is less than delta Y1 and delta Y3 is less than delta Y2 and delta Y4 is less than delta Y3 and so on. It follows therefore that as the stock of X with the consumer increases and his stock of Y decreases, he is willing to give less and less of Y for a given increment of X. In other words, the marginal rate of substitution of X for Y as the consumer has more of X and less of Y. That marginal rate of substitution falls is also clearly brought out in the preceding table. As already mentioned, the marginal rate of substitution of mangoes for apple is 4:1 to start with and it falls to 3:1 in combination 3, 2:1 in combination 4 and 1:1 in combination 5. Let us try to understand the reasons for the diminishing marginal rate of substitution. Why is the consumer prepared to forego less and less of the other commodity Y for a given increment in a commodity X? The reasons are 1. Since a particular want is satiable, the edge of a want for a good is blunted as the consumer has more and more of it. It is the diminishing intensity for a want that is responsible for the diminishing marginal rate of substitution, that is, offering less for a good whose stock is increasing. That is why, as the stock of X with the consumer increases, he will offer less and less of the other good Y for a unit increase in X. 2. Another reason for a declining marginal rate of substitution lies in the fact that goods are imperfect substitutes for one another. If X and Y, for instance, were perfect substitutes for each other, they would be regarded as one commodity and decrease in that of the other would make no difference. Hence, the marginal rate of substitution will not diminish. It will remain the same, for one commodity is good as another commodity. 3. Also, the marginal rate of substitution of one good for another will not diminish if the want satisfying power of the other good has increased at the same time. For instance, if with increase in the stock of the good X, the want satisfying power of the good Y has increased, then more and more of Y will have to be offered for a unit increase in X to keep to consumer satisfaction at the same level. Properties of indifference curve. The diagram of an indifference curve given already is a typical one. From the following paragraphs, it would become clear why indifference curves normally have this shape. Besides, we shall notice the properties of typical indifference curves. There are three characteristics of indifference curves. 1. Downward sloping to the right. 2. Non-intersecting. And 3. Convex to the origin. 4. Higher IC, higher is the level of satisfaction, and vice versa. 1. Downward sloping or negatively sloped. To begin with, an indifference curve slopes downwards from left to right. It is because when the consumer decides to have more units of one of the two goods, he will have to reduce the number of units of the other good if he is to remain on the same indifference curve, that is, if the level of his satisfaction is to remain the same. Looking at the diagram 6.1 again, we find that when the consumer moves from point A to point B, he has more mangoes than before, but the number of apples with him falls. Similarly, from B to C and from C to D. This is the meaning or implication of an indifference curve sloping downwards from left to right. To be surer of this property, let us for a moment suppose that instead of sloping downwards to the right, an indifference curve is a horizontal straight line, as is indicated in the given figure 6.4. So now we have figure 6.4, which is a horizontal indifference curve. So on the x-axis you have mangoes, on the y-axis you have apples. The IC1 curve is shown as a line which is parallel to the x-axis. So on this line there are marks point A, B, C and D at 7 apples. So number of apples remain constant, number of mangoes will keep on increasing. A corresponds to 1 mango, B is 2 mangoes, C is 3 mangoes and D is 4 mangoes. Going back to the text. So this shows that when the consumer is at point A, he has 7 apples and 1 mango and he is at a certain level of satisfaction. And that when he moves from point A to point B on the same indifference curve, he remains at the same level of satisfaction despite the fact that he has more mangoes, that is 2, and the same number of apples. This is obviously absurd. After all, the addition of a mango without losing any of the apples he had in the previous position must take him on to a higher indifference curve rather than keeping him on to the old indifference curve. Page 76. Similarly, if the indifference curve was a vertical straight line. So let's check figure 6.5. It's a vertical indifference curve. So we have on the x-axis mangoes, on the y-axis apples. And the indifference curve is a straight line which is parallel to the y-axis. So for number of mangoes equal to 4, there are different points A, B and C on this indifference curve. A equal to 1 apple, B equal to 2 apples, C equal to 3 apples. Going back to the text. So from the figure we can find out that it would mean that the consumer remains at the same level of satisfaction even though the quantity of one good increases without the decrease in the quantity of the other. Combinations A and B, for example, lie on the same indifference curve and are therefore assumed to yield the same number of mangoes but a greater number of apples as compared with A, give the same satisfaction as A. Hence, an indifference curve cannot be a vertical straight line. Still another possibility, but still more absurd, is an indifference curve may slope upwards to the right, as which is shown in figure 6.6. So in figure 6.6, we have an upward sloping indifference curve. Again, mangoes on the x-axis, apples on the y-axis. Here, the indifference curve is a straight line which is sloping upwards as we move along the x-axis. The three points marked are A, B and C on the curve. A corresponds to 6 apples and 1 mango, B corresponds to 10 apples and 2 mangoes, C corresponds to 13 apples and 3 mangoes. Going back to the text. At points A, B and C, a hypothetical customer is at the same level of satisfaction because he is on the same indifference curve. But what is indeed startling is that he derives the same level of satisfaction when he is at A with 1 mango and 6 apples, and also at B when he has 2 mangoes and 10 apples, and also at C with 3 mangoes and 13 apples. That is, when the units of both goods are increasing. This is absurd. Clearly, an indifference curve cannot slope upwards to the right. Thus, we see that an indifference curve cannot be a horizontal straight line as given in figure 6.4, nor can it be a vertical straight line as given in figure 6.5, nor sloping upwards as given in figure 6.6. Hence, by process of elimination, we come to the conclusion that an indifference curve must slope downwards to the right. This is its first property. 2. Non-intersecting. The second property or characteristic of indifference curves is that no two such curves will ever cut each other. What absurdity follows when two indifference curves are shown as intersecting each other may be explained with the help of the next diagram, figure 6.7. So in figure 6.7, we have indifference curves which are intersecting each other. The first curve is IC1 and the second curve is IC2. They intersect at point C. There is a point on IC1 marked B and there is a point A on IC2. Getting back to the text. At point B, a hypothetical consumer is on the indifference curve IC1, while at point A, he is on a higher indifference curve IC2, that is, the combination represented by point A gives him a level of satisfaction higher than he enjoys when he is at point B. But since the two indifference curves have been shown to be intersecting at point C, it means that point C lies on both indifference curves, which is in turn means that C is at once equal to A and B, which, as seen already, represent different levels of satisfaction. How can one level be equal to two different levels? It follows therefore that the indifference curves cannot cut each other. Page 77. 3. Convexity. The third property of indifference curves is that they are normally convex to the origin. The implication of this convexity rule is that as we have more and more of good x and less of y, the marginal rate of substitution of x for y goes on falling. This is exactly what was brought out in the table given to explain the concept of marginal rate of substitution on page 74. There we said that in combination 2, our hypothetical consumer had 11 apples and 2 mangoes. Now, when he acquired 1 mango more, he had to forego 3 apples. That is, the marginal rate of substitution of mango for apples at that stage was 3:1. For a further addition of 1 mango, the consumer was now prepared to forego a smaller number of apples, 2 this time. Let us prove convexity by exposing the absurdity if the curve is either concave or a straight line. Three figures of an indifference curve are given. They are figure 6.8, A, B and C. 6.A is a convex indifference curve which implies diminishing MRS. 6.8B is a straight line indifference curve which implies constant MRS. And 6.8C is a concave indifference curve implying increasing MRS. Now I shall try to explain these three figures. 6.8A. In all the three figures, mangoes are on the x-axis, apples on the y-axis. And mangoes are marked 1, 2, 3, 4. And corresponding to 2 mangoes is point A on the curve. Corresponding to 3 mangoes is point C on the curve. B and D are two points such that when you connect A to the x-axis and C to the y-axis. The point of intersection is B, and if you connect C to the x-axis and a lower point to the y-axis, the point is D. So that is how we get two points B and D. So we are going to compare AB and CD for the various curves such that BC is constant and equal to DE, which is say 1, which is equal to 1 mango on the x-axis. So for the three different curves, AB and CD will be different. So in the first curve, A, which is a convex curve, AB is greater than CD. In figure B, which is a straight line, AB is equal to CD. And in the third concave curve, AB is less than CD. Going back to the text. Figure 6.8a is the indifference curve is convex to the origin. In figure B, it is a straight line, and in figure C, it is a concave to the origin. From figure A, it is evident that the marginal rate of substitution MRS of mangoes for apples falls, that is, CD is smaller than AB. In figure B, the MRS of mangoes for apples remains constant, that is, CD is equal to AB, which is against the normal behavior of MRS, which is actually supposed to be diminishing. In figure C, it actually increases, that is, CD is larger than AB, which is quite the opposite of the normal behavior of MRS. We have already seen that normally the marginal rate of substitution of a commodity diminishes as we have more of it. In other words, the normal shape of an indifference curve would be convex to the origin as given in figure 6.8a. The other two shapes given in B and C figures are unrealistic. Having studied the concept of indifference curve and its properties, we are now in a position to study the indifference curve analysis of demand. Substitute relationship and convexity. The curvature of the indifference curves reflect the degree of substitutability between the commodities. That is, flatness or straightness of the curves shows to what extent commodities are substitutes for each other. In the case of perfect substitutes, the indifference curves are downward sloping, straight line, that is 6.8b, whereas if they are either horizontal, that is 6.4 figure, or vertical, figure 6.5, the consumer will not be willing to substitute one commodity for the other. Goods which can be substituted somewhat, that is not perfect substitutes, are represented by indifference curves which are somewhat convex to the origin. But greater the degree of convexity, the poorer are the substitutes. The flatter or less convex curves represent better substitutes. Page 78. Lower the indifference curve, lower is the level of satisfaction, and higher the indifference curve, higher is the level of satisfaction. We have four tables, IC1, IC2, IC3 and IC4, where we have the values of X and Y. And for these four tables, we have the four IC curves, IC1, IC2, IC3, IC4, for good X and good Y. So the values in IC1 are X and Y, X is 1, Y 12, X 2, Y 8, X 3, Y 5, X 4, Y 3, and X 5, Y 2. In IC2, X is 1, Y is 18, X is 2, Y is 13, X is 3, Y is 9, X is 4, Y is 6, X is 5, Y is 4. For IC3, X is 1, Y is 25, X is 2, Y is 19, X is 3, Y 14, X 4, Y 10, and X 5, Y 7. IC4, X 1, Y 32, X 2, Y 25, X 3, Y 19, X4, Y14, X5, Y10. So when we draw these four IC curves, we have on the x-axis good X and on the y-axis good Y. So IC1, IC2, IC3 and IC4 are four different indifferent curves. IC1 gives lower satisfaction than IC2. In the same way, the satisfaction increases as we move to higher levels of IC curves, such that IC4 is greater than IC3 is greater than IC2 is greater than IC1 level of satisfaction. Key terms: completeness, non-satiation, transitivity, continuity, convexity, indifference map, marginal rate of substitution MRS. Questions: Question 1. What are indifference curves? Give their assumptions and properties. 2. Draw the indifference curve diagrams in the following cases. A. Goods X is a given goods. B. Demand for goods X is unit elastic. C. Goods X and Y are always consumed in a fixed proportion. D. Income elasticity of demand for goods Y is unity. Question 3. Explain why a consumer's indifference curves 1. Have negative slopes, 2. Do not intersect, 3. Are convex at the origin. What is the economic interpretation of these properties? Question 4. Explain the law of diminishing marginal rate of substitution. Show with the help of the indifference curve analysis. With that, we come to the end of chapter 6.